So glad that I'm here to be back. And hey, I just want to say something before I get started. I'll tell you about the church, what's been happening, some great expansion and things like that. But when as worship was going on, just watching some people, you know, it's been a while, I just noticed a couple things. Number one, there are people that are here that were raised in this church like myself that have been sent out as missionaries from this church. And we're in different areas and territories of the United States and sometimes in other countries. And I just want to remind you as a church that you guys are an apostolic revival sending church where you send people like myself and other peoples to territories, not to proclaim a denomination or an affiliation, but to expand the kingdom of God where it needs to be. I just want to encourage you because there are people here that are still being raised up that God is still encouraging and empowering, and you're going to be sending more out. And I just think you need to give the Lord a hand of praise for this church and how it's designed to be. Number two, during worship, I just sense the strong spirit of praise and worship. And we've changed the name of our church. It's been about maybe a month and a half to Redemption Church. And the reason we did that was simple. There's one passage in the scripture where the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It doesn't say, let them clap so, or let them read their Bible so, or let them come and serve so. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have to understand, maybe some of you need to get back in your spirit. The only weapon you need to use is your mouth when it's time to fight. And I think I'm still in a Pentecostal church, so you can go ahead and say amen while I'm preaching, because I'm getting ready to go here in a minute. Understand, we're part of a kingdom of God, and that's it. And I've learned a couple things. I love history, and I've been doing a lot of study about the kingdom of God, and something revolutionized my mind about 3 or 4 months ago, and that was simply this. I don't have to fight any battles that come my way because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and citizens don't fight. A king empowers and enlists an army to defend its citizens. So citizens themselves do not fight. That's why the Bible says he'll give his angels charge over you. Guess who the army of the Lord is in your life? We are supposed to use our mouth to declare the goodness of God, but let the angels of the Lord fight on our behalf. Some of you need to stop fighting the fights that you're fighting and just give it over to God and let the angels be in charge over your life so that they can protect you and your family. Can you say amen? And I just wanted to encourage you with that this morning before I get into the word and let you know about our church, because this is a church that will always have a flame and a light of revival in this city. And let me just help you understand something. You may not be the largest light, but please be the faithful one. Please be faithful to the DNA that God has deposited here. It wasn't a person, it was God through a person. And everyone here has been deposited that same DNA, and it's called revival. And some of you need to shake it off just a little bit. Who cares what's happening right now in this church, in other churches, in America? You need to get back to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness and leave this place and transform this city for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Can I have a little bit more mic in the monitor, please? So it's good to be home. My name is Jason Cooper. Pleasure to meet you all. Things are going great. A couple months ago, we changed the name of our church to Redemption Church. And City Reach was a church planting network that helped us get off the ground. It was awesome. Now we knew it was time to kind of take the next step, kind of spread our own wings. And it's been amazing to see what's happened. And since we've last been here, I mean, we have 3 girls now, 8, 5, and 1.5. Which is awesome, but I missed the timing of the years, so I don't know what happened in between there. It might have been a oops. Not sure, but she's awesome. Her name's Mercedes, and they're at home right now because they're still in school, and we have longer winters than you guys have, so they build in snow days and such like that, so hopefully we can come back before school starts again. But we renamed the name of the church on purpose because one of the things that we were finding is that there was not enough of the message of redemption in our city. And let me just help, hopefully. I'm just here to help. we need to understand that God's blood is bigger than our sin. So even if and when you sin, His blood is still more powerful than your sin. So let's get back to praying for people that the blood of Jesus would protect them, and not casting, throwing stones maybe at the sin that they're in. Let's let the power of God be greater than our sin. Because if it wasn't, none of us would be here, even though we're saved. If our sin could really separate us from God, we wouldn't be here. But I'm so glad that redemption and grace and the blood of Jesus has saved me hundreds of times, and I'm looking at about 150 faces that God has saved too. Can you say amen? So we're so excited. We're averaging about 115, 120 people every week at our church. Praise the Lord. We're in the process of looking to purchase a building right down in the city. It's phenomenal. It's right across the street from City Hall. And just 5 months ago, I was asked to be on a panel in our city on a Martin Luther King coalition that is funded by the city of Schenectady. They asked me to be on the panel to have a voice about how to bring reconciliation into our city. And I'm the only white pastor on that panel. You can say amen to that. That is a huge burden of ours, is to bring some reconciliation into our city. And if you walked into the doors of our church, you would see every ethnicity except Asian, because God is starting to bring redemption to our city. Said this actually last couple nights. We had a golf outing for one of my high school friends who passed away. I had my 20th class high school year reunion, and I can't believe it's been 20 years that I've been out of high school. Was talking to a lot of people, and I'm going to get to the message here in a minute, but I wanted to say this because I truly believe, and this is my limited experience. I'm three and a half years into pastoring, so I'm learning as I go. But I really, really believe in net growth versus transfer growth when it comes to the kingdom of God. You know anything about business? You want net growth, not transfer growth. And in the kingdom, we want to see people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. Amen? And so in our church right now, and I can say this publicly because it's public knowledge, we have two lesbian couples coming to our church every week, faithful. Now, the way I was raised in some part of the old schools, I know they're rolling in their graves right now because of what I just said. But you see, they came up to me and said, we'd like to go have coffee and talk with you. We want to hear what your perspective about who we are and our lifestyle is. So we went and had coffee, and they took out their notebook. I said, shut your notebook. I don't have a Bible. I have one thing to say. Number one, God accepts everybody as they are. He accepted you in your sin. It was just labeled different. He accepted you exactly as you were. But He also doesn't approve of some of the things we do. And I said, that is a core value of our church. You are welcome here at this church. And you know what's been happening? They've been coming consistently. And about the last 3 weeks, her partner has not been coming to church. I went and asked her, where's your partner been? She said, since we had this conversation, every time she walks into church, she gets convicted and gets this thought of maybe we should not be in this lifestyle. From that, we're getting ready to start a strip club ministry through our church. I'm breaking all barriers this morning. I don't care. I'm leaving tomorrow, so it's all right. Because I'm a missionary to New York. You're a missionary to Miamisburg. And we know that there's unreached people groups right around our corner. I love going to overseas in Africa and India, but what about the unreached people group around my corner who are lost and going to hell? We now have access to go, not men, not me, let me just clarify that, not guys, but we have females who have access, have been cleared by the bouncers of strip clubs to go in the back rooms where the women are before they perform and share the love of Jesus. So who are you reaching? Who are you going after? Now I'm going to get to my message. couple passages of scripture. Everybody look at each other, look at your neighbor and say, power shift. No, say it again, power shift. Power shift. Acts 1:18, famous passage of scripture, very timely for Pentecost Sunday happening tonight. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses in me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, let's read it. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Next scripture. That's okay, I'll read it. And he said to me, measure Jerusalem to see what its width and its length and its height is. And there was an angel who talked with me going out, and then another angel was coming out to meet him. And here's what they said. Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls because of the multitude of men and the livestock in it. For I, the Lord says, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Look at your neighbor and say, power shift. Father, thank you for the word. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave today, if you see somebody who has a frown on their face or doesn't look good, give them a $20 bill and watch what happens. It'll change their whole perspective. It's amazing what happens, right, when money is in the picture. I want to help us understand something. If you feel discontented today with your present situations, don't get frustrated because they're not permanent. Don't get frustrated with your current situation because I'm here to tell you they're not permanent. God has always been in the business of taking your situation that you may seem is so big and it is permanent, and he has a way of shifting it around and bringing a power shift in your life so that what you thought was frustration was all to build character and your faith. Can you say amen? And I believe, because I'm seeing it, I'm sensing it, I'm part of this church, and I'm just going to say what the Lord's put on my heart, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to leave. I believe God is, in this season right now, measuring and expanding new territory in the kingdom of God. Isaiah says this, Isaiah 54 says this, sing, O barren, who have not have born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not have labored with child. And let them stretch out, enlarge your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit nations, and they will make desolates of the cities. You need to take the word of God that you know, the promises of God that you know, the prophetic words of God that you know, and begin to use them as a stake and drive them into the ground and begin to expand your territories, because what you're doing right now is comfortable for you, but God wants you to go on this journey of faith and begin to expand your thinking, expand your territory, expand your ministries, expand this church. And you might not like what's happening, but God isn't cared about your opinion. He's expanding, he's sovereign, he's going to save people whether you're going to help him or not. So you might as well begin to expand and drive the stakes into the ground and be a part of this new season. Can you say amen? And here's what happens as believers when we don't do this. When we're not expanding, when we're not stepping in faith, when we're not following God where he leads. And I know that can be trivial, and we have our opinions and perspectives. And here's what I've come to understand. Get just to the place of humility and say, yes, God, and leave the rest up to him, please. But here's what happens when you don't take that step in your own personal life. I'm not talking just to church. I'm talking about personally you. Here's what happens. True followers of Jesus, when the enemy comes, he knows when you're a true follower of Jesus, he cannot take you back to your former life. The enemy cannot take you back to your former life for those who have been saved and sealed with the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? He cannot snatch you out of God's hand. It's impossible. So since he cannot do that, here's what he will do. He will limit you in the current territory that you're in. And if he can neutralize you in the current territory that you're in, he will also neutralize your effect as a believer. And where he does it most is between our ears. And if we're not careful, we will see or feel, and we actually are doing the will of God, but we feel there's something yelling out from us to do something more, and we need to expand our mission or our ministry or our faith. But what is actually happening is you're allowing limitations to come into your mind, and therefore you know the enemy's not going to pull you back to the big three, as I grew up, of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So he will neutralize your effect as a believer by limiting your vision, by limiting your dreams, by allowing your dreams to grow smaller when God says think bigger. In Luke chapter 19, look at these verses of scripture. This is something that spoke really, really near and dear to my heart about 2.5 years ago. This is Jesus. As he drew near, he saw the city of Jerusalem and he wept over it. Side note, two places for your Bible students here that only Jesus cried in the Bible. Tomb of Lazarus and this over the city of Jerusalem, which means Jesus loves people and cities. So here's the question. Do you cry over people like Jesus did? And do you cry over the city like Jesus did? Jesus loves people and cities. And he's saying, if you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Red letter, not Jason, this is Jesus. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and enclose you in on every side. Luke 19, now to verse 44. And they will level you and your children with you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know your time of your visitation. This is Jesus, the love, the grace, the merciful, the one who died for all, who accepts everybody. He now came to his own city and cried over it and said, look, you missed your day of visitation, so now here's what's going to happen. The enemy's going to encamp you. It's going to enclose you. It's going to limit you. It's going to limit your thinking. It's going to limit your vision. It's going to limit your dreams because you missed your day of visitation. Now, I started to study that word visitation, and I found out, and if you're a good Bible student, help me out if you will, that the word visitation that's used there is also the same Greek word for bishop. And I began to do some research and understanding of bishops, and this is church 101 for some of us here, that a bishop back in history had the ability to adjudicate on your behalf and to expand your territory when you pleaded your case to him. So if you wanted a larger business, a larger piece of land, or a larger church, you would go to the bishop of that town or that area, and he would either say yes or no and defend for you and fight for you and grant you by saying yes, you can have it, or no, you can't have it. The bishop was the one who was in charge and had the power to expand whatever you wanted. And so as I put the two together, here's what Jesus was saying. Your bishop came by to expand your territory, to expand your vision, to expand your dreams. But you were so enclosed in, you missed your day of visitation. And I told our church right before we renamed our church Redemption, I said, God is moving in our church. We sense it. We feel it. And I am going to be a leader that's not going to miss the day that God is visiting us right now. And I'm here to tell you all the way from New York, if it's happening with me, it flows from the top down. It's happening right here in Miamisburg Assembly of God. And I'm here to tell you, don't miss your day of visitation, because God is wanting to expand and do wonders in this city. Let's go back to Acts 1:18. You receive power, raised in Pentecost, raised in this church, where this stain here proves that demons still exist. A young boy was delivered by a demon and he puked it up right here on the ground. They tried to clean it and can't get it out. It's a reminder that demons still exist. Hello, somebody. Don't get too comfortable with that one sitting next to you. It's a joke. Power. You'll receive power. You'll receive power. Went to Bible school. Went to Evangel University. You'll receive power to be a witness. And I started, and I put the two and two together. I guess that the purpose of having the power was to be a witness. But then as I was doing my due diligence, because you know we serve the same God, whether it's Old or New Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not an Old Testament God or a New Testament God. He's still the same God. Can you say amen? So I started doing my due diligence, and I found in the Old Testament where there are people that were actually witnessing on behalf of God. They were called prophets. They were being used by God to spread his word. So then I began to question, because if you're here this morning and you question faith, you question God, you question this, and you question that, let me be the one to tell you, go ahead and keep questioning. Because the fruit of questioning actually proves you're walking by faith. God is not afraid of your questions, and so neither should anybody else be. So I begin to question, is the result of power in Acts 1:18 for me to be a witness? Well, according to this power that they're talking about in the book of Acts, chronologically and theologically, it's not the same, because they were doing witnessing in the Old Testament. So what does this power really mean? Then I was taught at Evangel University, you can only have the gifts of the Spirit when you receive this power. Glory. Not making fun, just how it was, right? So I thought, no one could heal the sick unless they have this power. No one could give a word of knowledge. No one could do miracles, signs, and wonders. But I began to do my due diligence. I saw people calling fire down from heaven that didn't have this power that was promised. I saw people splitting water that didn't have this power that was promised. I saw people raise the dead who did not have this power that was promised. I saw people functioning in the gifts of the Spirit that did not have this power in Acts 1:8 that was promised. And I'm not trying to change theology. I'm seeking truth. Because the Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not your theology that will make you free. It's the truth. Hello, somebody. So I begin this, what is this power promised all about? What is the promise of the power all about? And then it struck me. I heard all these guys up here and women speak about this, but it never connected until I read the book of John again, where when Jesus was coming out of the water, and the Bible says that a dove came upon him and remained on him, which means the power never left. In the Old Testament, it would come upon kings and leave. It would come upon Daniel with the spirit of wisdom, and it would leave. It would come upon people and then leave. But when Jesus came to this earth, the Spirit of God and that power came and remained on him. And I said, that's the secret. It's this power that remains on me. I take it wherever I go. So if I go to the bar, the power's there. If I go to the strip club, the power's there. If we do a ministry that is totally non the traditional way, the power is there. So what are you carrying with you this morning? So I believe Jesus and God had a conversation back in heaven before he came and did his thing on the earth. And here's how the conversation went, if I could say it in this type of way. He says, God's like, son, there's a problem, there's sin. He's like, I know. And Jesus is like, I'll go down and fix it. But I can't go down on my own. I got to have something with me. I got to have something that will allow me to endure persecutions, to endure trials, to endure the scourging that I'm going to get. I got to have something with me that is more powerful than myself. Would you please empower me, God, with this promise that we've already talked about before the foundations of the world were ever laid? So Jesus came to this earth. John came out, boom, the power came on him and remained on him, and 3.5 years of his ministry has done more than everybody in this place combined put together, because he understood something. He had power. And now he's doing his thing. He's healing the sick, and these people are like, whoa, what manner of man is this that even at the winds they obey him? What power is this? He does his 3.5 years of ministry, and logically, if he came to the earth and God sent it to the earth, when Jesus went back to the earth, you would assume the power would go back with him and remain. The same power Jesus had. The same power that lives in you that raised Christ from the dead is what we're talking about right here. It's not talking about gifts of the Spirit or speaking in tongues. That's all part of it. I'm talking about the root of the power that remains in you and never leaves. And so when Jesus left, he went to his Father and said, I did it. I fulfilled my assignment. And he's like, but God, look, if I don't send the same thing that was on me down to my people, when they go out and do the works of the church, it'll be in their own strength. It'll be in their own goodness. It'll be in their own way of helping people that are in justice. We need to send the same thing that I had onto them. And now we see Acts 1:18. That the power came upon them, Acts 2:4 as well, and the Holy Spirit came and they spoke in tongues, which is the evidence of everything. And now when they left there, they preached 5 minutes, 5,000 people got saved. They preached 3 more minutes and 3,000 more people got saved. They were planting churches in small groups and planting churches in small groups, and resources were not a problem, all because of this thing called the power. So how does this put together the power and Jesus of and what was being said in Zechariah from the prophet measuring? See, here's what I've learned 3.5 years. I'm learning, so please let me learn. We measure God's purpose for our life by our failures, not our successes. If we're really honest with ourselves, look at yourself in the mirror. We measure what God can do by how we fail, not by our successes. Because the failures are the limiters. So what we do, Dave, is when we look in the mirror and God speaks to us, man, expand, start your ministry, grow, do this, we immediately have the accuser of the brethren come and said, hey, remember when you? Remember how you failed? You could probably only do this much and measure it out and use wisdom so that you don't get transparent and vulnerable again to hurt. So what we end up doing is measuring our growth by our failures rather than our successes. And isn't it interesting that everybody knows about our failures but never praises our successes? Until we're dead, and then they praise all about our successes and not about our failures. So I'm wondering, is this what the prophet was going through when he was going to measure Jerusalem? Because remember, it was the same city that Jesus cried over in the New Testament. This prophet came to measure in the Old Testament. The same city of Jerusalem. And so the Bible says that the angels came and spoke to him and said, put away your measuring stick. This city is going to be a city with unlimited possibilities. Why? Because it's going to be a city without walls. And I will be the wall of fire around her and the glory in her midst. I begin to put these two things together, Zechariah and Acts. The fire and the power. The measuring sticks and the power. The measuring sticks and the power. And here's what helped me. Hopefully it's going to help you this morning as I close. If you want to break the limitations off your life and stop measuring things according to your failures and start measuring them according to your successes, you need something more powerful than your willpower. You need something more powerful than your education or your money or how hard you can push against the resistance or how hard you can push back against it or how much you can step back and not do anything. You need something within you that is more powerful than what you've ever experienced to break off those limitations. And I'm here to encourage us this morning that I think we're at a place, you as a church, we as a people, where we need something that no man, no organization, no leader can give. It only comes by receiving another touch of this power. Can you say amen? So point number one is this. You are a people of unlimited possibilities. John 14:2. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the same works, but greater will he do. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. What barriers are you pushing in this community to reach lost people? I'm going to make a statement. I hope I don't get corrected. And if I need to get corrected, I'll take it. Some of you need to stop praying and start going. It's pray and do. Not just pray. Not just do. It's pray and do. Who are the spearheads in the community, getting involved in the community, being a voice in the community, and bringing people that don't know Jesus into this church? Is that your passion? Or are you praying for God to send the harvest? Because nowhere in Scripture where it says He will bring the harvest. He said the laborers are few to go get the harvest. We're asking God to send something that He's asked us to go do. He said, I will increase, I will multiply it, but you've got to go. What are you doing? What are you doing personally? What are you doing in your world around you at work? In your communities around you? Last night I was with about 60 of my high school friends until 4 o'clock in the morning. My God, I'm old. I talked to about 40 of them. And every one of them, stinking, sloppy, drunk, whatever, smoking weed, I didn't care. And they all came up to me, 40 of them, and said, I watch you every Sunday in New York. I work on Sunday, I put my headphones in, and I catch about 10 to 15 minutes of your preach, and it helps me, and I go about my day. 40 people told me that, and I said, my God, a simple thing is Facebook and the internet. If we use it, we can expand our reach. They haven't given their lives to Jesus. They're not tithing yet, but God is doing something, all because we're expanding our reach. What is God telling you to do? Came here from New York, empowered with this message to tell you this thing right here. Stop trivializing it and go do it. Now. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day. Go now. Leave everything on the court. Don't live with regrets. I'm not living with regrets. Well, Jason, is God going to call you back to Ohio? I don't care right now. I'm on an assignment. My assignment is bigger than wanting to be home. Your assignment should be bigger wherever God tells you to go. He said to go, so I went. Here am I, Lord, send me. I want to be a person of unlimited possibilities. I don't want to talk about faith. I want to live faith. I want my example to be faith. Can you say amen? Say, you're good preaching, Jason. Good preaching. Good preaching. Say, keep going. Keep going. Point number two. You are to be a city without walls. You individually. And as a church. Now I'm going to hit on something. The walls that you build up from your limitations and your hurts, you think they're protecting you, it's actually restricting God from getting out. What you're using as limitations and barriers and protection and wisdom and provision is restricting God from getting out. The Bible says in Zechariah, the angel came and said, look, put your measuring stick up. We're going to blow that out of the water, and this city is going to be a city without walls. Well, wait a minute. That means I'm now vulnerable. I'm now open to hurt. I'm now open to disappointment. I'm now open to trying and failing. I don't want it. So I'll take my failures, draw my box, use it as a wall, and call it faith. While you're restricted from that wall, from reaching on the other side of that wall to someone who's hurting, who needs Jesus. Maybe some of us have to break those down and allow God back in. So that one thing can happen, which is point number three. The Bible says that an I, capital I in Zechariah, will be a wall of fire around her. So the walls that you build up that think we're protecting you is restricting God from coming out. You break those down. God gave you a promise. He will send his fire and protection around you to make sure no enemy can come in and harm you. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You say it at the right moment in a song, man, the whole place starts shouting. Can you say amen? But here's a principle I've learned. The Bible never says weapons won't be formed. You get to see the weapons being formed in your midst, in your eyes, through your thinking, and you don't know how you're going to make it out because you see the weapons and they're too big. You see the enemy and he's just shining his blade. But the Bible says that they would never be formed. They just said they would never prosper. And what's going to help them not prosper is not your walls, but the wall of fire around you by the protection of God. I told my wife 6 months ago, I said, that's it. I'm jumping off the ledge. I don't care what happens. If we hit our face on the ground, we'll get back up and start all over. I'm not going to live with regrets and with in any type of inferior complex. I'm going to go boldly with confidence with what God's called us to do, and we're going to see his hand move in the city. I'm done. I'm tired of playing church. I want to see a true movement happen. And we're going to live by faith. There's nothing wrong with wisdom and doing the right thing and balancing it all out. But let me just end by saying this. Please be a church that gets back to the DNA of who you are. It doesn't matter who the leader is. Can I say that and be okay? Because whoever the next leader is, and whoever the next leader is 20 years and 30 and 50 years, if God decides to tarry in the next chapters of the church, let me help you to say, it doesn't matter who's here. Whoever's going to be here is going to have the same DNA. God is not going to have illegitimate children through his church. He said he would build the church, didn't he? We're supposed to go and make disciples. Don't get it confused. Let him build it. Let him be sovereign. But yeah, this. But yeah, that. But yeah, so what? Get your butt out of the way. What if you got back to understanding? If this church burnt down, would you still be a Christian? Would you still have passion to go reach people? I told our church, if we never get a building and our church building burns down, and if we all die, we are going to be a missing link in our community because we're so involved by reaching people. The question is, could that be said of your individual life? If you leave a job, would a missing link be there? If you get promoted, would a missing link be there? I'm here to tell you, the vision of this church is not going to die. Because God is bigger than anything I've ever seen. And I don't want to learn nothing more than just trusting in God that he's faithful, like Raymond said. Can you say amen? That's all I want to know. Let's use the KISS method for you salesmen. Keep it simple, stupid. Let's keep the mission of Jesus simple. Go, reach, proclaim, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, go into the highways and byways, and be a people with unlimited possibilities, amen. And be a city without walls, amen. So that God can protect you, amen. Do you have any worship music there, Mr. Gary? As he's getting that ready, let me also be transparent. Part of the reason why we changed out of this City Reach network was because 6 months ago I found out they were embezzling our account. Probably not that right now. A little slower. A little strings. Benny Hinn. No, just kidding. We found out they were embezzling money. Not of our church, but every church they planted, which is over 100. I passed high school. barely. I was in the top 10% of the bottom third of the class, so at least I made it. I've been a little good with numbers, so I'm not an idiot either. I knew what was coming in, as a good pastor would. But we got the reports and the financial statements because the way the church network that planted us helped, they controlled the books and made a lot of sense just so that we could go and run and every the checks and balances approved by the AG, all the stuff was in line. It was all legit. And about 5-6 months ago, found out they've been skimming this whole time. There were two districts, Assembly of God term, Pennsylvania and another district that gave us money to help plant the church. And you know what? They, the network, City Reach, was supposed to pay them back 10% of our tithes to help refund the kitty so that they can help plant more churches. But it wasn't happening. So if I can just make a long story short, when we changed and came out of it and did our thing, whatever, we should have received $38,000. But it's gone. Now, during that whole time, I tried to take legal action. I did. I tried to, like, push the envelope a little bit, talk to the district. They were there helping as much as they can. But the books, from their end, made sense. I had no control. And I'm not smart enough maybe to take the next step. So I just said, you know what, Lord, we're going to wash our hands of it. In that meantime, I began to get a little concerned, so I began to get protective around my family, like any father would. And what I was actually doing, which I thought was protection, was restricting God from going into our life and expanding our territory, because both my wife and I, literally past good year, but strictly the last 6 months, never experienced a darkness of frustration, mad at God, done with life, done with church, moved to Florida, get a church down there, mad at the AG, mad at City Reach, mad at myself for making a dumb decision. I should have thought, the Lord should have gave me a word of knowledge before we even started. Isn't it funny that God sometimes won't let you know, because if you knew, you wouldn't go. My wife found herself just wrestling. Kids were just irritated. Lord, then the Lord brought me to Zechariah, and I began to read it, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not trusting you. I'm not. I say I am every Sunday morning and encourage people every Sunday morning to trust God, but I'm not. I can't do this. And the Lord began to break me, which is awesome. We changed the name of our church. It says God's honest truth. 2.5 months, our offerings have tripled every week with no increase of people. Little golf clap for you. Our offerings have tripled every week with not an increase of people. We're still running about 100, 110. Nobody at our church knows what was happening behind the scenes. We kept it between me and my wife and one other person, prayed about it. Now we're seeing the shift. For us, that's massive. Like, we're small, we're a small team, but it's massive. And I think it's a principle. What are you guarding against that is restricting God from moving in your life? We all do it. Let Him be the protection around you. He said that I will provide for your needs. The bank account at this church will be taken care of. It's not just you need a prophetic word, it's about letting God do it. So I'm just infused with faith right now. I'm scaring my wife. Scaring myself. Because I'm about to run. Just go. because I want to see the wall of fire be the protection around me so I can have a power shift in my life. Can you say amen? So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So all I've been doing on the plane here, on the car rides, going to work. I'm still bivocational, by the way. I still work in pastor. Just what we're doing right now, I'm being one of the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm saying so. I'm saying so. I'm saying it into action. I'm bringing it into fruition. I'm speaking those things that are not as though they are, but I had to go through a lot of me getting gutted so I could say it with power. Can you say amen? Just like what God's doing with some of you, maybe through the church. Let it happen. Just let it happen. The worship was good. You reached a peak, but you didn't know what to do from there because you were looking around. Is this the right time? Should we go? Should we move? Should we shout? Should we do this? I'm here to tell you, break free. Be you. Do what God wants to do here as a church and be the faithful light. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet with me this morning as we close. I'm going to ask you to do something, and we're going to raise that music up as loud as we can. I hope it doesn't offend any of you. I'm giving you a warning now if you need to move back a couple rows. We're going to get loud in here. We like loud in New York. Mostly because all of New Yorkers are loud. They're all Italian.